Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2019-2020 preseason coverage. I'm your host in the middle, top middle here, Chad Sherwood, joined on the two sides here by John Stalica and John Titel. Lower row, we've got David Griggs and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. And this is our Big 12 preview show being recorded here on the evening of October 24th.
Yes, it is.
Big 12. Has kind of not been that great of a conference lately, Rocco. I just took a look. You know, the last 5 years, their KenPom rating was 1, 1, 1, 1, and 1. Not that great, huh?
Yeah, not that great at all. And what I think they've sent at least six teams to the tournament in each year. Maybe 1 year they only sent five. So yeah, pretty solid when they've been down to 10 teams since 2013.
And then the 1 year Kansas doesn't win the Big 12 regular season, it just completely went into the toilet in the tournament. Is that right?
Yeah. We're lousy in the tournament. Yeah. John Titel, let me bring you in here. Last year, the Big 12, for the first time in the memory of, it seems like, 14 years, Kansas winning the championship of the regular season. It's finally done. We don't have to ask that question anymore, right?
It's really amazing. I mean, it seemed like one of those things that was impossible to do for even 5 years. And once it got to double digits, you assumed it would never end because he keeps bringing in McDonald's All-Americans. As to whether it's all clean, that's a separate discussion. It was nice to see that the champ get knocked off, and it was nice to see that it was a very competitive conference. The bottom was a little rougher than it was in the past, I think, but the top is as good as anybody's top, I think.
Yeah, and last year we saw both Kansas State and Texas Tech tie for the regular season title. Texas Tech, David, had a decent run in the NCAA tournament, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, after starting the season off unranked for the second year in a row, they had a phenomenal run in the tournament. This one more phenomenal than their Elite Eight run the year before. They went all the way to the championship game. They went all the way to overtime in the championship game, and they almost won it all. Not bad at all.
Right. Well, Rocco, let me bring you back in here. Does order come back here, and is Kansas going to be the team to beat this year, or is it the new bloods like Texas Tech or a K-State or one of these other teams?
Yeah, I mean, there's two answers to that question. I think Texas Tech, after what they did last year in the postseason and being the co-champions, I think they are becoming more of the hunted across the league. However, Kansas, when you see this roster on paper, and getting guys like D'Souza and Udoka back and a Devin Dotson guy who's incredibly talented and could have easily gone to the NBA last year, plus a slew of talent. Some really good fortune came to Bill Self in May. I think Kansas has to be at the top of the league.
David, you agree with him. Is Kansas the best team in the Big 12 again this year? And this was just last year. It was just going to be a blip in that in the radar.
Right, and I realized that, like, you know, the streak came to an end, and like, what is it, 13-1? 13-1's not too bad. No, I definitely think Kansas, with all they have coming in, is at least they're the most talented team in the league. Now, part of me thinks that you can't overlook some of the notice of allegations and how that may play out. And interestingly enough, if you look at the 90 days to respond and then the 60 days after that, that's 150 days. It's going to be crunch time right up until the NCAA tournament when this finally comes to be. And is that a distraction or not? Is it something that could affect their ability to play in the tournament this year or not? But all in all, like, that aside, and that is a lot to set aside, but that aside, yeah, Kansas looks to be the best.
And Titel, let me ask you here. Azubuike, Dotson, they have some of the best players in the conference just on paper here, putting aside all that off-the-court stuff.
Yes, as always. I mean, I think that losing Grimes is going to hurt them. I heard he was just named eligible at Houston, but if Azubuike's healthy after the torn ligament in his right hand last year, McCormack and Dotson look good in the tournament. Agbaji, I'm still not exactly sure what he brings to the table, but I've seen him very high in a lot of mock drafts. I'm more worried about the team's off-the-court problems. On the court, they're as good as anybody. The schedule is brutal. They might have to go through Duke and Villanova and Tennessee. Very tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah, they do play a tough non-conference schedule. A little bit more of non-conference news from Kansas. Look at this. Look at this. Look at what was scheduled earlier today. This is next year. But here we go, 414 days away from the resumption of the border war. We will be on the air the entire time counting it down. What do you think, Chad? Isn't this great?
Where's the buzzer? David, no. We are not going to be on the air for the next 414 days. But huge, huge breaking news for Kansas fans. David is right. The border war is finally back starting next year. Kansas and Missouri will be playing each other again. Stalika, how about Kansas's non-conference schedule? You mentioned some of it. Any other big tests coming up for them?
I mean, first of all, I don't know about this border war you're talking about. I know they have been branding it as the border showdown. But by the same token, you also have Kansas that's going to be part of the Maui Invitational, where they're actually going to have a non-bracketed game against East Tennessee State at home that may be worth watching before they go into Maui, where they'll face Chaminade and either UCLA or BYU in their second game.
Yeah, but I think also, this is the last year we're going to have these non-bracketed game crap.
From what you told us already, Sleeker, we're already putting them in the championship game with the Maui. So,
but also keep an eye on UNC Greensboro, where they're not going to be as high as East Tennessee State will be, but still a worthy opponent for the Jayhawks in the Fog early in the year. And then the aforementioned games of Colorado at Nova and Stanford, and they also get Tennessee as part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Right, that'll be coming up in like end of January, I believe. Tytel, let me bring you back in here. Beyond Kansas, who's next best team in the conference?
I think it's open for debate. I will suggest that it is the reigning national runner-up in Texas Tech. I'm still not sure how good a coach Chris Beard is. I'm leaning towards very freaking good because all he does is get his team very far. He's been to three NCAA tourneys. He's won 9 games. Very impressive. They were amazing last year. 31 wins, an overtime loss to Virginia in the title game. So they were literally a possession away from winning the championship. The bad news is they lost a ton of talent. Jared Culver, Matt Mooney, Tariq Owens, Brandon Francis, Lorenzo Diassi. You cannot replace guys like that overnight. Coach Beard did bring in some veteran transfers to try to help with that. Unfortunately, both of them are coming back from injury, so I'm not sure how good they're going to be instantly. Chris Clark comes over from Vatek, PJ Holyfield from Stephen F. Austin. They also do have some nice backcourt pieces, junior David Moretti, sophomore Kyler Edwards. The non-conference schedule looks doable but tough. Iowa, Creighton, DePaul, Louisville, and Kentucky, yikes. I don't think this team is going to win 31 games again. I don't think they're going to be back in the title game, but I think they can really give Kansas all they can handle and try to win the conference title.
Yeah, and David, you mentioned it already that heading into the season last year, we weren't expecting much from this Texas Tech team. They had coming off a year where they just lost a top NBA draft pick in Zaire Smith. And,
right.
And here we are again, the same situation we had at the start of last season, though, isn't it? All these guys are gone. The NBA lottery pick is gone. Four stars are gone, but why not?
It's just deja vu again, is really what it is. 2 years ago, not only did they not start off in the polls, now, again, a lot of teams that do well don't start off in the polls, but I don't think they received a single vote in the preseason poll. And for a while, we were talking about them as a one seed. For a while that year, it looked like that they might be the team to unseat Texas. They ended up in the Elite Eight. It was a phenomenal year. And then they follow that up again, starting off unranked. And I think last year I said I like Texas Tech more than most people seem to be, just because of how they always seem to finish better than what their early season expectations are. Now, I wasn't expecting them to be what they were, but I thought that they would be better. And it's just I've learned to not write off this team. I don't think they'll get back to the title game. But I think they'll be ranked in the top 25. I think that we'll be talking about them as a protected seed, and I think that they'll be positioned to go far in the tournament again.
And just for those that don't know, a protected seed, you talk about one of the top 4 seeds in the NCAA tournament, one of the top 16 teams in the nation. Rocco, any other thoughts on this Texas Tech team? And you know, are Clark and Holyfield the answer this year, like the answers they had last year?
Well, I think Clark was a big time pickup with proven, you know, Power Five experience. Holyfield, for all intents and purposes, you know, Chris Beard is going to find a good role for him. He won't be able to dominate the way he did in the Southland, but you know, he plugged and played some pretty darn good transfers last year. So you have to just in any kind of unknown situation, you have to err on the side of Chris Beard. I think, like Tytel and David just said. So. I think it is going to take them some time to gel. These the whole roster has 10 newcomers, but they do start with five very reasonable, very winnable games. Besides the fact they do play the NEC first place pick team just recently, Long Island Sharks, in the fifth game. But beyond that, you know, in all seriousness, they won't get Louisville or Kentucky till later in the year, late December and in January in the SEC Challenge. I thought their non-conference schedule was pretty lacking until they did get Kentucky on the schedule. So by the time we're at the end of the year and we're counting up all the data, I think they're going to end up with a good chunk of Big 12 wins and a decent NCSOS. So I think they'll end up in a protected seed by the time we're done. I think they just might take a rocky path to get there.
Stalika, how about beyond Kansas and Texas Tech? You know, where do you go after them? Who is your next best team in this league?
I would stay in the state of Texas, but I would go southeast towards Waco, towards Baylor.
Good pick.
This is a team that's – they're not going to have Mekhi Mason or even Mario Kegler, who was ruled ineligible, but you're still going to have Tristan Clark, Mark Vital, and Jared Butler among your returning players. This is a team that early in the season, they're going to be – playing Washington up in Anchorage, which has kind of replaced the Great Alaska Shootout. They'll also be playing in the Myrtle Beach Invitational, which will include Ohio U and then either Utah or Coastal. And assuming they go all the way to the title game, they'll probably face Villanova. But other than that, they'll have a showdown against Florida that's going to be part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. But in between, couple games against Arizona, Butler, and their typical bye games.
Yeah, what a contrast that is. Anchorage, Alaska, and Myrtle Beach. Or is it Charleston?
It is Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, yeah. You know, one place just like the other.
Tytel, you know, Tristan Clark healthy, and experience on this Baylor team, which is, you know, you don't almost see in some of these power conferences. The level that this team is going to have this year.
I still fear that they're a year away, just because they're not as veteran heavy as some of the other teams in this conference, I think. If Clark comes back healthy, that's huge. I like Maceo Teague, the transfer from Asheville. I like Mark Vital. He had 17 points in the loss to Gonzaga last March. But they don't have a ton of seniors. Those guys are all juniors, so I think they're a year away. Scott Drew, in his 17th year on the sideline, I think he's passed Bryce Drew as the best coach in the – as the second best coach in the family. Not sure if he's got his dad Homer just yet. But a tough – it seems like they're joining the Pac-12, Washington, Utah, and Arizona. Not sure about that. Butler in Florida, so very tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah, well, after what Bryce Drew did last year, that was a real bold statement. But, Rocco, let me turn to you. Beyond these three teams, is there somebody else that you think might be third instead of Baylor, or are you good with them? Is there a fourth place team you have instead?
I think we're okay to pencil Baylor in at third, but I do think anywhere this league's so balanced. I think that's what makes it a great league in and out is how high the bottom is. I mean, a lot of years you're looking at a top 80 KenPom team in last place. So let's pencil Baylor in at third. A team I like probably in the next spot would be West Virginia. Obviously coming off of a down year last year, very rare occurrence for a Bob Huggins coach team, plagued by injuries and some newcomers that couldn't gel. I like the makeup of the team they're bringing back and some of the new pieces he's added to go along with how great of a coach he is and track record he has. I think at this point we are splitting hairs 4 through 10, but I'm leaning towards the Mountaineers having a bounce back year.
Oh, well, wow. I mean, 4-14, last place in the Big 12 last year with these pretty much this roster. I mean, yeah, Derek Culver is a great player, Rocco, but to pick them all the way up this high, I don't, I mean, I was thinking this West Virginia team, honestly, is maybe get to 500 type of team. I wasn't really seeing it this year, which is a surprise for Bob Huggins. But, David, do you think Rocco is right about West Virginia? Are they going to be up this high?
I actually do. I think one of the things that hurt them last year, no pun intended, was just injury after injury. I mean, they were just so beat up. And they just couldn't get into a normal routine. This, I have nothing to base this on other than, like, there isn't anything they really did last year that you can point to as far as momentum for this year. But if they stay healthy and they get, like, some of the talented players back last year playing the way that we thought they would, yeah, I could see them being sort of a dark horse or, you know, finishing fourth or fifth and getting back into the rankings and back into the tournament. I think last year was an anomaly, a little bit maybe being overrated to start the year. Most people forget they started off ranked in the teens, not that that matters, but there was a reason they were that high. But it was also just a lot of circumstantial bad luck that without that, I think they would have been a lot better. And I think they're better this year, assuming they can stay healthy.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Rocco.
Yeah, just a comment on that, David. Last year they did have a nice little run in the Big 12 tournament. They knocked Texas Tech out in the quarters and got them a couple extra days of rest to make their run to the final. So that was a nice two wins in the Big 12 tournament. I think that gave them a little springboard to this year.
Well, Stalico, we haven't yet mentioned one of last year's co-champs in the conference. What about K-State? I mean, could they be up there this year? Are they a potential contender for the top half of the conference?
If we go by what the coaches and media were picking, we probably wouldn't be mentioning K-State until the very end of the show, and that's because they had quite a bit of roster turnover.
I was stupefied that they were picked to finish ninth. I mean, I don't think they're going to tie for first place again, but this is a team that returns three starters that has some pretty good newcomers. And it just seems preposterous that you would pick them to finish ninth. And I know we like making fun of Bruce Weber, but I mean, don't we have to give him some credit at this point?
I've already issued my apologies to Bruce Weber. I do believe in him now, but Titel, K-State, do they belong at the bottom of the conference or should we be talking about them right here in the middle of the league at least?
I can live with middle. They did lose a ton of talent. And I do like Snead and Moween coming back. And Weber, I mean, he's been to 13 NCAA tourneys. The man can coach. I think that non-conference play will be okay. Pitt and Northwestern don't scare me. Marquette scares me a little, although they lost the Housers. Mississippi State and Alabama, the whole SEC was great last year. I can live with middle.
You can live with middle. Well, let me stick with you, Titel, though. Who would you have K-State fourth, West Virginia fourth, or somebody else fourth and fifth year in the league?
With due respect to Rocco, I don't see the Mountaineers. a coach like Bob Huggins, who has won 800-plus games, it's one thing to have the injury bug, but to have the suspension bug and the other end guys transferring out, it was just a mess. And if anybody can turn it around in 1 year, it's a veteran coach, but I'm not sold on that. If I had to take somebody else, I don't know, maybe somebody like Oklahoma. Obviously, Trey Young's not walking back through that door, and they have lost a lot of other guys as well. But, again, a guy like Lon Kruger's been to 19 NCAA tourneys. He brings back Brady Manek. I think they have a McDonald's All-American as well. Another team that's deciding to play the Pac-12. They got Oregon State and Stanford, both of whom are going to be below average this year. Minnesota and Butler and Missouri and Mississippi State. So plenty of opportunities to get some non-conference wins. I don't think they're going to win like 25 games and be at the top of the pack, but I think solid middle of the pack.
Well, Rocco, let me ask you this. You know, this Oklahoma team, I think I have more questions about this team than anybody else in the conference. But do you have answers for me?
Not as many as you probably want, but I would say, they do have a backbone because Doolittle and Manek have a lot of experience, and they carried the team in a lot of ways last year. To get into the tournament and surprisingly blow out Ole Miss in the first round. I'm still a little taken back by how easy of a time they had in that first round game. So I think just having those two guys back along with Jamal Bienemy, who obviously is a great athlete, his uncle is a a legendary Colorado Buffalo football player, current NFL coach. So they'll bring in everybody else on the team besides those three are all new. But Austin Reeves comes over from Wichita State, and he's going to be counted on to shoot the rock. And, you know, I think they got some – at least they have some leadership, and Kruger's got a lot of experience coaching and getting teams to the dance. I think it would be nice to see them have a consistent year. The last 2 years in a row, they got off to great starts and then held on, you know, by their chins just to get into the tournament. So we'll see how this year goes.
Well, David, what about Shaka Smart's team down there in Texas?
Yeah, what about – I mean, again, NIT champions, can they repeat? It is one of the big questions.
If they're repeating as NIT champions, I think they're doing it with a new head coach, first of all. But go
right,
ahead.
Yeah. You know, again, I have a lot of questions about them, too. I think only one or two starters are back. And, like, you know, they look to be pretty strong out on the perimeter. They, you know, they're going to push the court, play that pressure defense that we're used to seeing. But I don't know. I mean, I like Shaka Smart. I still probably believe in him more than a lot of his detractors are starting to. But if I had to guess, I think they're back in the dance this year, but it wouldn't shock me if they didn't get there.
Well, Salika, what do you think? Do you think this tech, do you agree with David on Texas, or are you going to want to go somewhere else for teams that could make the field out of this conference?
I think one of the interesting things in play for Texas is, despite I guess Shaka Smart always being mentioned for a bunch of head coach openings, he might actually be on a little bit of a hot seat as far as Texas is concerned.
I think it's on a huge hot seat, honestly, yeah. But go ahead.
I mean, granted, they didn't win the quote-unquote national championship in the NIT, but they'll still have some decent pieces returning with Courtney Ramey and Matt Coleman III, among others. You look at some of their notable games, they'll have – a game at Purdue on the road right off the bat. It'll be part of the 2K Empire Classic that includes Georgetown and either Duke or Cal. They'll also be kicking off at Dickey's Arena in Fort Worth with a game against Texas A&M. So that'll be one rivalry that at least for 1 year is going to be renewed. And they'll also have games at Providence and LSU that should be worth watching. But much like last year, they're going to have a gauntlet in the non-conference.
Well, actually, Tytel, let me ask you about another team that I kind of like this season. I think maybe the surprise team, but I'm always a big fan of teams with a lot of players back from the year before. How about the Cowboys?
They were Oklahoma State Cowboys. Do return a bunch of seniors, Cameron McGriff, Lindy Waters, Thomas Tiagua. Mike Boynton, only a second year, but when you're an assistant to Brad Underwood, you're learning from a guy who knows a lot. Very tough non-conference schedule, Syracuse and Georgetown and Ole Miss and Houston and Minnesota, amongst many others. I do like the fact that they have a bunch of seniors back. I don't think there's enough around them, and I'm not looking favorably at the non-conference schedule. So I have them lead. I'll give you middle of the pack if you want them there. If not, I'm leaning bottom of the pack.
Bottom of the pack. Rocco, bottom of the pack. We've only got two teams left we haven't even discussed yet. You want to hit a little bit on the Cyclones maybe? Could they be a tournament team?
Yeah, I like the Cyclones. I do think they'll just looking preseason here, but I think they'll find a way to squeeze into the tournament. Tyrese Halliburton, tremendous talent. I think he was number two in the NCAA last year in assist-to-turnover ratio. And brings a lot of extra experience from winning the gold medal over the summer on the U19 team. But that, by the way, was coached by Bruce Weber in this conference. And I think bringing a guy like Prentice Nixon in, a very, accomplished Mountain West player from Colorado State, and adding guys like Terrence Lewis, Michael Jacobson, I just think they've got some of the experience and confidence to be able to make up for some of those big losses that they're going to deal with losing Talen Horton-Tucker and Lindell Wigginton and Shayok and Wheeler Babb. I mean, they lost a lot last year, but they kept the cupboard full, and they got some really great news just a couple weeks ago when Penn State transfer Rasir Bolton got his waiver approved, and he just plugs in perfectly to the biggest hole that they had, which was the shooting guard spot. So now they've got a proven shooter. Halliburton can run the team. I kind of like it just enough to get him in.
David, you want to finish us off here on the conference where, you know, it's kind of like for years we saved this team to be the last team we discussed in the conference. Then they got good, but maybe they're heading right back down there. What about TCU?
Yeah, TCU just missing the NCAA tournament a year ago. And, you know, but they lose a lot of that. Now, that being said, it seems like you said, they always end up being better than what we think. They could still end up being better than what we think and still finish last in the conference. One of the things, I was going to say this at the end, but I'll go ahead and say it now. Like, from basically teams 4 through 10 or maybe even 3 through 10, there's more good things to say about them than not. And it's like, can all 10 teams finish in the top 5? Is that possible?
Can all 10 teams finish in the top 5 of what?
Of the conference.
So you have 10 teams. There's a six, a six-way tie for fifth.
A six-way tie for fifth.
I guess it is possible. I mean, it's a tie for fifth, but like
that can happen.
Yeah, there's so much parity in this league that, like, I think that once by March it will sort itself out. But I think that we're going to be in the January, February, and we're going to be projecting 8-9 teams into the tournament every week until somebody finally falls off. The league is that strong. And TCU, to be the worst team in the conference, they might be the best worst team in any conference in the country. Oh, yeah.
I got to agree with you completely there, David. Yeah. And Tytel, isn't this something that could be a problem down the road here? Because you're not going to have gaudy records because every single conference game is going to be a tough game, even if you're Kansas or Texas Tech at the top of the league.
True. I mean, we could have six teams finishing at 8-10 or 7-9 or something, which I don't think will do anybody any good. I'm sure people will separate during the year. I don't expect everybody to get stuck in the middle. It's October. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to get hurt, suspended, et cetera, et cetera. So in theory, yes, but in practice, I don't think it's going to shake out that way.
We've also had years past where TCU would just breeze through a very soft non-conference schedule, go 11-0 or 12-0, sneak into the top 25. But I don't think that's going to be the case this year, though.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I want to run through each of you right now. I think it was kind of a consensus that we all think that Kansas is the best team in the conference, but I want to ask each of you two things. Number one, how many teams are going to make the NCAA tournament from the Big 12, in your opinion? And then the second question, also, if you have any other final thoughts about this league as we get ready to start the season here, just a little week and a half or so away. But Rocco, let me start with you. How many bids and any other thoughts on the Big 12?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the same as last year. I think the floor is pretty much the same as it was the year before and many of the years we've had here since 2013. So I am going to stick with six bids, which is exactly what we got last year. And I do think last year it should be pointed out that Texas throughout most of the year had a great resume. They had wins over Purdue. They had wins over North Carolina. They had a bunch of nice Big 12 wins, including Kansas and Baylor. And by the end of the year, the reason they didn't get in is because they got 16 losses. And I can't help but think that's going to happen to somebody else this year, if not Texas themselves. And so just watch out for that throughout the year, because part of the byproduct of playing everybody in a full round robin, 18 games, plus a tough non-conference schedule is, you know, if you're in the middle of the pack like this, you're going to end up with a great resume, but you could also lose too many games and just knock yourself out that way. So watch out for that.
All right. Stalika, what are your thoughts?
I'll probably go with the same here. I'll be looking for six teams in the NCAA tournament. I'll say Kansas wins the regular season title. I think Baylor might actually be my surprise team as far as winning the Big 12 conference tournament. But beyond those other two teams, I'm going to say West Virginia, Texas, Iowa State, and Texas Tech end up sneaking into the NCAA tournament field.
So you're not you don't think K-State makes it?
Not this year, though.
Okay. All right.
But I do have one other final thought. I had teased this in the chat earlier. We don't have any new head coaches as far as the coaching ranks go, but we do have one notable assistant that's going to be joining the Oklahoma State bench this year.
Yes, we do.
Get it up.
Yes.
All right, folks, there's two things that get me excited.
Yes.
Well, I have a deal for you. Barry Hinson's barbecue sauce. This year, at all Saluki athletic events, we're going to sell this barbecue sauce, and all the proceeds go to academics for our athletes. You can put this on meat, and if you don't like meat, well, shoot, drizzle it on your cauliflower. Barry Hinson's barbecue sauce. If this ain't the best barbecue sauce you ever had, well, I reckon you're alive.
And yes, that would be Barry Hinson,
yes,
an analyst for the Oklahoma State coaching staff this year.
I hope the head coach gets ejected from every single game.
Okay, let's keep moving on here. Titel, how many bids from this league? Set the record straight here.
I want to say five, only because a lot of good teams lost a lot of good players. I'll go with Rocco at six, though. I think that it's going to be not due to the talent, but because KenPom has this as the strongest conference in the country. So I think that a 7-9 conference record might let somebody squeeze into the first four as a 12th seed just because of the record. As far as a final thought, I just want to give a shout-out to the player that I'm cheering for in the Big 12 this year. It's Andrew Jones of Texas. As if a wrist fracture and a fractured toe wasn't enough, he's also had a little thing called leukemia. This is a guy who 3 years ago was a McDonald's All-American. I'm talking a class in 2016 with some superstars in the making. Lonzo Ball, Udoka Azubuike, who's still at Kansas. Jason Tatum was in the NBA. And now this kid is trying to come back, and I don't know if he can do it because I've never had leukemia. I don't know, like, how somebody can get back on the court, much less, like, succeed. But I'm really pulling for him, and I hope he has a great season.
I would not be shocked if we saw seven teams out of this conference because I just think it looks so good top to bottom. But these teams are going to knock each other off, which is the comment that I made earlier. So it'll probably end up being six. But we may be talking about seven or eight of them, at least in the bubble discussions, up until the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised me one bit. But, David, let me let you finish it off here with how many.
Well, I hate to have to follow what Titel just said, but I guess I'm going with 10. All 10, all of them in.
Okay. Well, on that note, which made absolutely no sense, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for our Big 12 preview. David is going to get rid of the WAC automatic bid maybe to put an extra team in, or
no? We're just getting 10 in. Okay. I think we're just going to make a regional, the Big 12 regional,
the 16 in a region, David.
Well, okay, then we'll need four more, I guess.
Okay, 10 plus 4 is 16. Okay. On that note, I do want to again thank everyone. On behalf of John Salica, John Titel, David Griggs, Rocco Mill from Bracketeer.org. This has been our Big 12 preview. We have lots of other conference previews on the website, so check out the tabs up there, and we'll talk to you again real soon.